a minute. That's not the usual Catholic Answers music. That's the game show music. Must be time for the Catholic Answers quiz show. I am Cy Kellett, your game show host for this hour, joined in studio by our super secret celebrity guest. He is the man with his own mysterious world, Jimmy Akin. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you for coming in and being our super secret celebrity guest.
So I would challenge the idea that I'm a celebrity, but on the supposition that I am, one of the most popular shows in England right now is called I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. So would that entitle me to be extracted from this situation?
You have one lifeline.
Okay.
You can only use it in the last 60 seconds of the show.
Okay.
And then you can leave at that point.
I may do that. We'll see.
No, please. The game show is a contest between two great minds who have gotten in touch with us. It actually has been pretty much two great minds every time. They've gotten in touch with us because they're Radio Club members, and we send out a call for contestants
that
via the Radio
Club.
That
means they're great minds.
They joined a radio club.
Yeah.
Right.
Had to be smart enough to join it.
And you, too, should join Radio Club. You join Radio Club just by going to CatholicAnswersLive.com, and then you'll find a spot where you can give us your email address, and then you're a member of Radio Club, and then we just give you stuff.
Show how smart you are.
Yeah, show how smart you are. And on occasion, we have all kinds of cool stuff like, special interviews that I'll do with Jimmy, for example. And so all kinds of opportunities to, in addition to already being a brilliant person who signed up for Radio Club, becoming even more brillianter. Is that the way you say that?
One can. I have known it done.
Are you prepared to meet our contestants today?
Virtually, yes.
Both are gentlemen of the South. On line one, we have contestant one. Chris, are you there with us?
I'm here.
All right, Chris, where are you and what's interesting about you?
I am in Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm a Catholic school teacher, and I'm currently on an axe retreat. So please pray for the men that are going through the retreat this weekend.
Oh, all right, an axe retreat. What a lovely city you have down there, and a very fine red brick cathedral, if I remember right. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Lake Charles, Louisiana. Did you want to say hello to Chris, or did you already say hello to Chris?
Hello, Chris. I've also been down to Lake Charles.
You're
back.
Right. You should come back. But you're a Southern gentleman yourself.
Oh, yeah.
A man of the South.
Yeah, I was born in Texas and raised in Arkansas.
And where do you hang your hat?
I hang my hat in Santee.
Okay. Fair enough. On line two is contestant number two, and that is John. Hi, John. Where are you and what's interesting about you?
Well, I'm in Houston, Texas. I've been married to my lovely wife for 25 years. I've got four lovely children, and I have a pet lovebird that's sometimes not so lovely.
Oh. Wait, what is a lovebird?
It's his pet, he said.
I get that, but is it one of those talking type birds or?
Yeah, it's related to a parrot. It's a quite a beautiful tropical kind of bird.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how cool. We have parrots that live in my town, like a big flock of parrots.
Oh, uh-huh.
They don't like dogs, parrots. Mm. Okay, John, so you two could practically throw a rock and hit each other's houses. If one of you's Charles. No, don't do it. But one of you's in Lake Charles, one of you's in Houston. So we're playing I'm going to declare it. We're playing for the championship of the South today.
Okay.
I've declared it now.
Do I get to say hello to John, too?
Oh, I apologize. Jimmy, would you please say hello to John?
Howdy, John.
Hi.
I also have been in Houston many times because I have relatives there. My mom grew up there.
Do you know John?
Oh, that's great.
That would be a disqualifier.
Not personally.
We'd have to get rid of John. Okay. Well, Chris and John, you've probably, listened with great anticipation every time we've had the game show. But I'm going to go through the rules for on the slight chance that there might be someone listening who doesn't know the rules.
Just to keep us down.
Well, the primary rule is the host can make up any rule he wants in the course of the game. That is an actual rule.
Okay.
It's written into the rules. The game works like this. It's a game in three rounds. In the first two rounds, you compete against one another, and the winner of those two rounds together moves on to the third round, which we call
final judgment.
Thank you, Jimmy. So you will...
Didn't want to step on your line there.
No, that's okay. I appreciate that. So you'll go to final judgment, if you are the winner of the first two rounds. If you are not the winner of the first two rounds, you will get a fantastic prize. And we have a really, really good prize for that person today.
And what do they win, Si?
Thank you, Jimmy. They win a one-year subscription to Catholic Answers Magazine. They get Answers Magazine delivered to their home or the home of a loved one for free for a full year.
Nice.
But wait.
There's more.
There's more.
Oh, what else do they get?
I don't know. I feel like we should give them 2 years. Nick, what do you think? Ask Assistant Producer Marie. We'll come back to you in a second when I get through with the rules. See if Assistant Producer Marie or Darren, the director of the department, who we call El Capo, will approve 2 years of getting the Catholic Answers Magazine free. So the way it works, each of the first two rounds, you will each get three multiple choice questions. So contestant one will get three multiple choice questions in round one and three in round two, and the same for contestant number two. At the end of those two rounds, we will add up the points. You get 1 point for a correct answer, zero for a wrong answer. We'll add up the points. We'll see who's ahead, and the one who's ahead moves on to the final judgment, and the one who is not ahead receives the... Well, I've received approval from the highest authorities here at Catholic Answers. It has come through over the wire. I can give 2 years free subscription to the person who is eliminated after rounds one and two. But, Jimmy, you ask, what if there's a tie?
But what if there's a tie?
Nice job on your line, Jimmy. Then we go to these two boxes, A or B. And because Chris was picked first and he is contestant number one, he will pick either box A or B, and it will say congratulations, or it'll say sorry. And then that will be Chris's fate. Are the rules?
So the way we have these boxes arranged for the cameras, it says ba.
I don't know why that is funny to me, to put B in front of A, but I find these dumb little things funny, so I do it. It drives the internet crazy.
If it was the other way, if it was ab, it would be the Hebrew word for father. But since it's ba, yeah. It's the enclitic in Latin that indicates the future tense.
That's what I was going for. I just didn't know if anyone would get it.
Okay.
Because my Latin is very enclitic.
Okay.
Chris and John, those rules seem fair to you and they seem clear to you?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, very much so.
Okay. It seemed like they both consulted with their lawyers before they answered their first.
And they would be wise to do so. Dealing with a couple of people like us.
Yes, indeed.
All of our
keep
nonsense.
Your lawyer next to you. Yeah. Okay, so here's the deal, though. You also get two lifelines. If at any point during round one or two you feel stumped, you can ask Jimmy to either lifeline one, eliminate one of the wrong answers. So you'll be left with a 50-50 choice. Or you can use the lifeline, which is...
Which
is not number one. All right. So I'm struggling a little bit there with the rules. You can use the other lifeline, which is Jimmy will just give you the correct answer.
But
it will be in Pig Latin. So you will have to decide.
Not actual Latin.
Not actual Latin.
Despite the Pig use Latin. Of the enclitic here on our desk.
Right. All I ask is if you get to the end of round two and you have not used the Pig Latin one, use it because I want to hear Jimmy do Pig Latin. Everybody okay?
Yes.
All right. Here we go. Round one. Contestant one. That is you, Chris. Question number one. Chris, the hypostatic union is A, the union of the three persons of the Trinity. B, the union of divine and human natures in the single person of Jesus. Or C, the union of symbol and reality in the sacraments.
And for people who are playing along at home, you want to read those again?
The hypostatic union is A, the union of the three persons of the Trinity, B, the union of divine and human natures in the single person of Jesus, or C, the union of symbol and reality in the sacraments. Chris?
I'm going to say B.
I didn't hear it.
You said B.
Oh, B. Okay. I don't know why I didn't hear that one. I wish we had some cheering for that. That would be awesome because that is correct. B.
Oh, there we go. Crowd showed up late.
We have a dull crowd today. Yeah. Contestant number two, John, your first question. John, purgatory is A, the same as the punishment of the damned, only temporary. B, entirely different than the punishment of the damned. C, a final chance at salvation for those who died outside of the friendship of God. Which one is purgatory? The same as punishment of the damned, only temporary, entirely different than the punishment of the damned, or a final chance at salvation for those who died outside the friendship of God?
Wow. It's early in the game, but I think I need to use the lifeline.
Okay. Which one would you like to use?
I'm going to ask you, Jimmy, to eliminate one of the answers, please.
Okay. The answer is not the same as the punishment of the damned, only temporary.
So do you know your two choices?
That would leave us with entirely different than the punishment of the damned, or a second chance, a final chance at salvation for those who have died out of friendship with God.
I will say A.
The first one?
Yeah, of those two.
Entirely different than the punishment of the damned is correct.
Right. That was actually B, but we had eliminated A, so you got it.
We deduced it.
Right. Thank you.
And we've never run across that situation before, so we're just giving it to you. But we knew what you meant. As a matter of fact, that's now a rule. If we know what you mean, we're just going to give it to you.
Yeah. That would be a good thing to do.
We've been joined by we're going to take a break from the game show for just a quick second because we've been joined in studio by an important
person. And now
personage.
This message from our sponsor.
And now this message from the man who is moving towards the microphone. Most of the questions in this edition of the Catholic Answers Quiz Show are either inspired by or come directly from the current issue of Catholic Answers magazine, the A to Z of apologetics, explanations of key faith topics for every letter of the alphabet. And the editor of Catholic Answers magazine now joins us, Tim Ryland. Hi, Tim.
How are you guys?
Very, very well. We used the extraordinary powers vested in us to give away, to promise to give away a 2-year subscription to Catholic Answers magazine to one of the contestants.
Originally, it was one, but we altered the deal.
What?
Pray do not alter.
Is that going to bankrupt your department?
Oh man, there go all the extra issues.
They're very fine people.
Okay.
So you okay. Okay, I'll go along.
Sure, why not?
Tim, part of why we wanted to give it away is it's one of the best Catholic magazines in the world.
Thank you. We think so.
Yeah. So and what's coming up next? What will you get it the next time? Do you get to tell us or no? Are you allowed to say?
He gets to tell us. He makes the rules on that.
Oh, okay. All right. Got anything interesting in the upcoming issue?
Oddly enough, we do.
I'm fascinated by that. Will there be any articles
Oddly
by Jimmy
enough,
Akin?
It better be something interesting in the next issue.
Well, we've been through the A through Z, so the next issue is just going to be...
It's going to be numbers?
48 pages that say this page left intentionally blank. It's got nothing else.
Oh, not again.
It'll also have A to Z in it. In fact, many times it'll have A to Z, but they won't all be in that order.
I gotcha.
They'll be in
What can we look forward to coming up?
Bulletproof Apologetics.
Really?
Isn't that a great title?
That is a great title. That's what I want to be able to do, Bulletproof Apologetics.
Right.
The subtitle is How to Make Your Best Case and Avoid Shooting Yourself in the Foot.
Very good. So that should be a book.
Said by the author himself.
The author is Jimmy Akin.
That's right,
huh?
Of course.
Jimmy, but that's a book title right there.
It really
is.
Thank you.
Make that a book.
No, when he pitched it to me, I said, oh my goodness, that's a great title. Yeah, I'm not going to change that.
That is a good title.
The idea is expressed in the subtitle. It's a series of techniques that I've developed over the years that precisely how to make your case in a really good way.
And how not to.
And avoid sabotaging yourself.
Yeah. Very good.
And these are pieces of advice I often give up-and-coming apologists, especially when they ask me to evaluate their work and suggest ways to improve it.
Very good. How do I get Catholic Answers Magazine? Tim Ryland, editor of Catholic Answers Magazine.
I listen to you telling me how to get it all the time on the air.
He's implying you know.
I'm asking
there
in the host
several
sense,
ways.
Not in a personal sense. I actually already get the magazine.
Yeah. It shows up in your mailbox
for free. The many easy ways, catholic.com/magazine, catholicanswersmagazine.com. Those are the two main ones for me.
Or call Tim at home. His phone number is – we'll just go to catholicanswersmagazine.com.
There you go. That's easy.
And you can get a year, a 2-year –
You probably can't get a 10-year subscription. I don't know.
But maybe you can get 5 2-year. Well, I don't know.
5 2-year subscriptions.
You could just keep bringing it in, and we'll just extend it.
Fair enough. Tim Ryland, editor of Catholic Answers Magazine. We got an email from your mom the other day saying that she thinks the magazine is great. She just thinks you need a better editor. Did you know? That's not a joke.
That email was sent by Tim himself in persona.
Tim, I thought that was
Jimmy,
your mom.
Quit giving away my secrets.
We'll be right back to finish up the game show right after this.
Your number one source for Catholic apologetics and evangelization, Catholic Answers Live.
Divine Intimacy Radio.
When you engage with the wisdom of saints this way, it stokes the fires of God in our hearts, encourages us, strengthens us, and gives us wisdom to deal with the difficulties of life. It also gives us wisdom that allows us to rise above all of the junk, to live with joy and peace in the midst of even the most difficult circumstances.
Divine Intimacy Radio, Sunday, 6:30 a.m., 1:30 p.m., and 11 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Oh, yeah. That's the Catholic Answers Game Show music. We are right in the middle of the Catholic Answers Game Show. Chris from Lake Charles, Louisiana is contestant number one. Contestant number two is John from Houston, Texas. Our super secret celebrity guest is Jimmy Akin. And we are still in round one, and we have only used one lifeline among the contestants today. So contestant number one, Chris, we are back to you. Your second question of round one, the church teaches that original sin, A, involves the absence of God's sanctifying grace in the soul. B, makes every child guilty of personal sin at the moment of birth. C, is essentially the same as personal sin, but shared by everyone.
I'm going to say A.
Wow, we didn't even get to play the music.
So fast. Original sin does involve the absence of God's sanctifying grace from the soul. In fact, the classic definition is it's the deprivation of sanctifying grace from the soul. Deprivation meaning something you don't have but you need.
Who took it?
It wasn't so much taken as chucked away on our behalf.
Thrown away by our first mother
parents,
and father.
Yeah.
All right, John, your second question of round one. The church teaches that the resurrection of Jesus is A, something that happens outside of history on a purely spiritual level. B, a fact of history. C, a transformation of Jesus' body into a living spirit.
That would be B.
A fact of history is correct. Yeah, absolutely. You will find some theologians who will say things like it's a kind of meta-historical event.
Yeah.
But what they mean by that is unclear and deliberately so. But no, it's a fact of history.
And by the way, I don't think I mentioned, but if either of you needs a reread on a question, just let me know. All right. If I think you've got it, I'll just let it be. But if you want to reread, just let me know. Contestant number one, Chris, your final question of round one. The church teaches that personal sin, A, is always deadly to the soul, B, is not as bad as mortal sin, or C, is only sometimes deadly to the soul.
I'm going to say C.
C is only sometimes deadly to the soul is correct. Personal sin can include both venial and mortal sin, and if it's the latter, if it's mortal sin, then it is deadly to the soul. But since it can include venial sin, that means only sometimes.
All right. I approve of you as a Catholic school teacher now, Chris, because you just killed it in the first
round. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. You have my seal of approval. Contestant number two, John, sacraments are A, causes of grace, B, visible signs of grace, or C, both?
C, both.
Both is correct.
Man.
Yeah.
Q killing it.
They are visible signs that convey the grace they signify.
So they actually cause the grace to happen, like baptism actually.
Well, not in the magical sense,
no,
but they are means of grace.
Yeah.
That means that God uses to give us his grace.
Not just symbols.
Yeah.
All right. Assistant producer Marie, where are we now? What's the score?
3-3.
Oh, that's the score right there.
Yeah.
The one that you
it's
have right the, in front of me.
On the screen in front of you.
That's, okay, good. I thought that was their ages. I thought Chris and John were each three. I don't know what
that
I was thinking.
That would be very impressive.
That would be very impressive, especially given the depth
it
of the voices.
It also would be alarming at the rate they're aging because it's they've like gained 2 years in the last 15 minutes.
All right. So after round one, we are all tied 3-3. That is perfection, gentlemen. We move now to round two. Any lifelines you have left, you may still use. And Marie is keeping track of that because, as you can see, I can't keep track of nothing. Contestant number one, Chris, your first question of round two. Who is a member of the Communion of Saints? A, every canonized saint. B, all of the faithful living or dead. Or C, every soul in heaven, whether canonized or not.
Can you repeat the answers, please?
Sure. I'll do the whole thing. Who is a member of the Communion of Saints? A, every canonized saint. B, all the faithful, living or dead. Or C, every soul in heaven, whether canonized or not.
Can you take away one of the wrong answers?
Yeah, absolutely. So I will take away the answer, every soul in heaven, whether canonized or not. That leaves us with A, the Communion of Saints is every canonized saint, or B, the Communion of Saints is all of the faithful, living or dead.
I'm going to say B.
B is correct, yes. That's why it's in the Creed. It's not just a reference to the saints in heaven. It's a reference to all of the saints, including those who are still alive and whose sanctification or sanctification is still in process, like us.
All right, so we're all members of the Communion of Saints.
That's what the Catechism of the Catholic Church says.
I like it.
In this passage you used as the basis for this question.
That is a that is a club I'm happy to belong to. Contestant number two, John, your question, question number one for round two. Catholic teaching commonly makes a distinction between two types of grace. Catholic teaching commonly makes a distinction between two types of grace. A, actual and sanctifying. B, potential and actual. Or C, angelic and human. Are you there with us, Jim?
Okay. The answer, A, is correct. The Catholic teaching commonly makes a distinction between actual and sanctifying grace.
That was very impressive. What did you do, meditate there for a minute?
He communicated the information telepathically, but Nick was psychic enough to pick up on it and turn up his volume.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, is that what happened? Oh, okay. Oh, nice job, Nick. All right. Well, we march forward. I think everybody's still perfect. So we go to question two of round two, and that is for you, Chris. According to the church, when Jesus said, "This is my body," he meant A, the bread was a figurative representation of his body. B, the bread was a sign of membership in his spiritual body. C, it was now his actual living flesh.
I'm going to say C.
C is correct, his actual living flesh. One thing that some people might wonder about that question is, would it be his dead flesh on the cross? But actually, when you look, for example, at the Credo of the People of God that was published by Paul VI in 1968, he clarified that the Eucharist is the living flesh of Christ in heaven. And so it's not like a time warp specifically to the cross, and that's it. The broader reality of Christ and his living flesh is present.
All right. I still approve of you as a Catholic school teacher. John, we go to you, your second question of round two. Then the sacraments of the Orthodox churches. The sacraments of the Orthodox churches are A, valid for Catholics in a time of emergency. B, invalid. C, valid because Orthodox bishops are real successors to the apostles.
I think the answer is A.
Oh, I'm afraid not. They are licit for Catholics in a time of emergency and in other times as well. It doesn't have to be an emergency, mm-hmm. But they are valid because the Orthodox bishops are do participate in apostolic succession, and so the sacraments that they and their the priests they ordain administer are valid.
All righty, John. Oh, is that music mean we have to take a quick break?
Yep, that's
right.
The hard quick
we'll
break.
We'll be right back to finish round two of Catholic Answers game show right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Author Mark McNeil spent years in the Oneness Pentecostal movement, praying in its lively services, zealously spreading its unconventional teachings, and rejecting mainstream Christianity as misguided. Then he left it all behind. All in the Name is the story of a man who believed he was among an elite group of believers who followed the true faith when so many others had strayed. But an inquisitive mind, careful study, and the action of the Holy Spirit finally led Mark out of Oneness Pentecostalism and into the Catholic Church. This is an inspiring conversion story you won't want to miss. It's a faith strengthener for Catholics and an intriguing challenge to those who deny the doctrine of the Trinity. Order your copy of All in the Name today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Is the Church wrong on contraception? In a culture that worships the pursuit of sexual pleasure, the Catholic Church's teaching on contraception can seem archaic and unintelligible. Its critics say it's outdated, theologically unfounded, and even harmful. And even faithful Catholics can have difficulty explaining this moral teaching. Catholic Answers is out to change all of that. That's why we've just released Trent Horn's dynamic new DVD, The Case Against Contraception. Using scripture, papal and magisterial teachings, natural law, and new insights provided by social science and medicine, Trent puts forward a compelling case for Catholic teachings with his trademark charity and persuasive graciousness. Be prepared to give a defense. Order your copy of The Case Against Contraception today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
And I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. The Morning Glory team talks about the pro-life legacy of Martin Luther King.
Monday morning, 7 Eastern. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
I recorded my teases to play in Morning Glory next week with Gloria and Deacon Harold, so they're going to get some surprises next week. I put some little nuggets in there. But even though Gloria didn't say hi to me the second half of this week, I've got some stuff in there for him. You're listening to the Catholic Answers game show. It is Friday. We're having fun. Contestant number one is Chris from Louisiana. Contestant number two is John from Texas. And our super secret celebrity guest is Jimmy from Texas and Arkansas and Southern California. Hi, Jimmy.
Howdy. Only I'm from Texas and Arkansas. I just live in Southern California.
Oh, I can't tell. Is that a kind of diss to Southern California?
Or? No, it's just an expression of where I'm from.
I gotcha. Okay. All right.
Do you want me to diss Southern California?
No, I don't. I love Southern California. California is my home.
Said Cy from Boston.
I love Boston, too. It's just harder to drive in Boston. Okay. Well, I can't remember where we were. So are we on question number three, I think, round two for contestant one. Question number three for you, Chris, in Louisiana, is this.
A lot of grace questions today. Actual grace is, all right, the question is, actual grace is, A, the grace of God given only through the sacraments. B, a supernatural help from God for a person to do a particular good. Or C, the state of the soul in friendship with God. Chris?
I'm going to need to hear that in pig Latin.
Yes, Chris. Thank you.
Actual grace is a upernatural se elp he umfre adge orfe a urson pe ute ude a articular pe ud gay.
Okay, that was fun. Thank you for picking that one. I appreciate it, Chris. Do you know the answer, or was that
I'm thinking it's B.
B, a supernatural help from God for a person to do a particular good is correct.
So could I get an – like say I were not a baptized person.
Mm-hmm.
Could I get an actual grace from God if I'm not baptized?
You not only could, you will, and because God gives everyone the possibility of salvation in some way. And if you are not yet baptized, that means he's going to give you the grace needed to repent and believe in him and be saved and so forth.
Ah, okay. Yeah, otherwise, how am I going
to because God has to take the first initiative because no man comes to Jesus unless the Father draws him. And that's that actual grace is part of the drawing.
Fair enough. All right. Your final question, John. Sanctifying grace is A, the grace of God given only through the sacraments. B, the grace given by God to those who do not know Christ. Or C, the gift of God within the soul of the saved. That's a lot of theology there. Do you want me to read it again?
Well, I think I'd like to hear it in pig Latin.
Okay. Sanctifying grace is ide erminet pe iftge ovge adge ithinwe ithe olse foe ethe avtse.
It's just a sigh of exhaustion halfway through.
No, it's just a little. Oy. It's the little two-letter prepositions that are hard to turn into pig Latin.
Okay, did that give you any help at all, John? What do you think?
I think it does, but could you read the answers or the questions again?
Sure.
Choices again.
Yeah. Sanctifying grace is A, the grace of God given only through the sacraments. B, the grace of God, the grace given by God to those who do not know Christ. Or C, the gift of God within the soul of the saved. Aved say. Within the aved say.
C
is correct.
You are correct.
Sanctifying grace is a gift of God within the soul of the saved. It's not only given through the sacraments, thus eliminating answer A, and it is not given specifically to those who do not know Christ. It may be given to them in mysterious ways, but it is ordinarily given to the saved, thus eliminating answer B.
So it seems to me, if I were to sum up, because we had actual grace and then we had sanctifying grace,
mm-hmm.
It seems like one is like
one is a state, and one is more of an enduring state. That's okay. Sanctifying grace.
Okay,
and then
the other one's like a
the
push
other
or a
is
prompt.
Like a push or prompt. Yeah.
I got it. All right, that was a really fine first two rounds. How are you feeling, Chris and John? Do you feel it was fair? No, they
you have 30 days to file an appeal.
Yeah. Nobody wants to answer. All right. Now that you've had time to consult with your lawyers, do you feel that those were fair two rounds?
I think so.
All right. They were hard
questions.
They were
hard questions, and they both gentlemen performed very well.
Supercomputer crunch the numbers already, Jimmy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Supercomputer Marie did that. It's right on the screen in front of you. Chris is our winner of both rounds. He got 6 answers right. John came in very close to that, 5 answers right. So both gentlemen performed extraordinarily well.
Congratulations, Chris. John, do you know what your prize is?
I'm guessing you can tell us, Si.
John, you are receiving 2 years, 2 years subscription to Catholic Answers Magazine, one of the finest magazines in the world. Thank you very much, John, for playing.
Hey, my pleasure. Looking forward to the subscription. And Jimmy, I recently read your book, The Fathers Know Best. It was really great. So it was nice being able to meet both of you.
Thank you so much. And
thank you, John.
Thank you for playing, and thank you for your support of the Radio Club.
Yes, the Radio Club. That's how John became a contestant. If you'd like to become a contestant, just sign up for Radio Club, and we send out a call. And then Marie, do you still pull them out of a hat, or how do you do it, Marie? You actually pull them out of a hat? All right.
And we will, you know, in the old days, I would pull, and when we did the game show, I would pull the questions out of my hat, literally here on the air, the hat of knowledge.
Oh.
Yeah. By the way, also, we're going to be sending John a copy of my new book, Teaching with Authority.
Oh, I didn't know that. Congratulations, John.
Yeah. See what you learn when you read the screen?
I'm supposed to read that screen. Yeah. I'm not a multitasker, Jimmy.
Okay.
Not a multitasker. Okay, so Chris, you have reached your final judgment. Are you prepared for final judgment?
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
It's all about hope, final judgment.
There you go. Okay, so what will happen in final judgment now is you will get 7 true or false questions. If you get all 7 correct, you will receive $50 of the merchandise of your choice from shop.catholic.com. If you do not, okay, so say you only get 6 out of 7. Well, tell you what, each question also has a prize attached to it. For every question that you get right, you will get the prize that comes attached to that question. Consult with your lawyers, see if you want to continue.
They said it was okay.
They said it was okay. All right. Your first true or false question. On question number 1, you are playing for a 1-year subscription to Catholic Answers Magazine, but now it's a 2-year subscription. True or false? All of these will be true or false questions, by the way. True or false? Concupiscence is a sin.
False
is correct. Concupiscence is not a sin. It is an inclination to sin. It's a fancy word for temptation.
All right. So you got the 2-year subscription to Catholic Answers Magazine coming your way. For the second question, you are playing for Jimmy's book, The Fathers Know Best. True or false, Chris? The Pope has the full and supreme power of jurisdiction over the universal church.
Question?
Yes, true or false, Chris? The Pope has the full and supreme power of jurisdiction over the universal church.
I'm going to say true.
True is correct. Yes, he does have not only the power of teaching for the whole church, he also has the power of governing or the jurisdiction over the whole church.
Still just nailing it, Chris. Question number 3, true or false? Baptism gives sanctifying grace to the soul, but does not take away the inclination to sin.
True.
True is correct. Baptism does grant sanctifying grace, but it doesn't take away that concupiscence or temptation.
And I didn't tell him any prize that he was going to get. So I'm going to tell you now.
Oh, you better now.
The prize you got is my book of the year for 2018.
Insufferable?
Not insufferable.
Oh, I'm
sorry. That's my life story.
Oh.
that's my autobiography I'm working on. Inseparable, 5 Perspectives on Sex, Life, and Love in Defense of Humani Vitae. If it sounds like it's a book about contraception to you, it did to me too until I read it and I realized it was a book about being fully and truly human, especially in the modern context. We're delighted to send it to you. You know what we got to do? We got to take a quick break, though. Can you hang on in suspense and anxiety while we do a few things and then come back to finish up your final judgment?
I can.
All right. We'll be right back with more right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
We need EWTN Radio for the reason that Mother Angelica founded this entire enterprise. She always saw this as a spiritual growth network. It was to be an enterprise in media that reached people in all aspects of their life. She saw this as a holistic approach to reaching the whole person in the middle of the world and bringing them truth and life.
Raymond Arroyo thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Catholic Answers Game Show. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Chris has survived for the final judgment. He's undergoing his final judgment right now. As a matter of fact, Chris is a Catholic school teacher in Lake Charles, Louisiana. How about a pitch for your school there? What's your school and what do they do there at the school you teach at?
Impart learning to children, I'm guessing?
Let him answer.
Yes, we teach children, strengthening spirits, minds, and bodies through the teachings of Jesus Christ.
There we go.
At Immaculate Conception Cathedral School.
Immaculate Conception Cathedral School. So you're just on the edge of downtown Lake Charles.
Correct.
Very good. And how long have you been there, Chris?
This is my 21st year.
Hey, congratulations.
Congratulations. All right. We continue now with your final judgment. Chris, true or false? Oh, and you're playing for this book, All in the Name, How the Bible Led Me to Faith in the Trinity and the Catholic Church. That is by Mark McNeil, and it's from Catholic Answers Press. And your question is, true or false, the church teaches that those who have been saved cannot lose their salvation.
False
is correct, but boy, wouldn't it be nice.
It would be nice. Is there any point where I will be secure? Like, it's done now.
Once you're dead.
Oh, once I'm dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then you'll be secure, one way or the other.
Well, we hope one way and not the other.
We certainly do.
Chris, I don't think Chris has missed any. Has Chris missed any?
No.
Man, I got to come up with something harder. Okay.
Don't jinx me.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I don't want to do that.
These are pre-written, so don't worry. He's not going to bail on you and come up with something harder on the spot.
No. These are all pre-written. So, Chris, you're playing now for Jimmy's book, Teaching with Authority, How to Cut Through Doctrinal Confusion and Understand What the Church Really Says. Jimmy, true or false, Buddhism is more ancient than Christianity.
True.
True is correct. Siddhartha Gautama, also known as the Gautama Buddha, lived several centuries before the time of Christ. At that time, God's program of the ages was still in the phase that we call the period of the Old Testament. And so God had already begun working in the world, but the time for Jesus to incarnate and disclose the fullness of God's will had not yet arrived.
Chris, I'm getting nervous that you're going to get them all correct, and then we'll have to give you the $50 at shop.catholic.com. Is that negative the way I said that, Jimmy? I feel like that might have
been. Well, a little bit, maybe, from a certain point of
view. Sounded like
up
I was,
to a point, Lord Copper.
It sounded like I was rooting against him.
No.
And Chris, I am now rooting.
You meant I'm afraid in a good way.
Yes, yeah. I'm afraid we're going to have to part with $50 in a good way. True or false, Chris? This is number six. Oh, by the way, you're playing for Carlo Broussard. Book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. True or false, Islam is more ancient than Christianity.
False
is correct. Islam is not more ancient than Christianity. Muhammad lived several centuries after the time of Christ. And if you read the Quran, it refers to things in the New Testament, which it couldn't do if it were more ancient.
All right. We have come now to the final moment of truth. You're playing for a daily defense, 365 days plus one to becoming a better apologist. Jimmy's book, which, by the way, is on sale 50% off at shop.catholic.com right now.
Just like your chances of guessing the answer to this next question randomly, 50%.
50% or 50% off.
Yeah. Do not blurt out an answer unless you're very sure about this next one. Think about it.
Wow. You got the warning. Are you ready, Chris? Are you nervous?
I'm ready.
All right. True or false, Chris? Christians invented monasticism.
Repeat the question.
Yes. Chris, true or false? Christians invented monasticism.
Oh, man, you're messing with me now.
Well, I suppose what that would mean in other words.
In other words, is monasticism more ancient than Christianity?
Yeah, were there monks before there was Christianity?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that would be one way of framing it.
I'm going to say Christians did not.
And you would be correct because there were monasteries and monks prior to the time of Christ, and definitely in other religions, like in Buddhism, for example. So the Buddhism question was kind of a primer for this one to get you thinking about the history of Buddhism.
That's what helped me there.
Yeah. Also, depending on how you look at it, you could look at certain figures in the Old Testament as monks as well. There were people who took what was called the Nazarite vow, and there was a form of special personal consecration to God, either temporarily or in a lifelong fashion, like with the prophet Samuel. And the connection between this kind of consecration, which is different than priestly consecration to God, and monasticism is clear enough that in modern Hebrew, a nazir is the modern nazir is the modern Hebrew word for monk, and nazirah is the modern Hebrew word for nun. So people who took the Nazirite vow and became nazir, who become a nazir or a nazirah, were the
monks and nuns
up to a point, though they didn't necessarily live in community.
Right. Chris, I am really impressed. I thought this was a really hard quiz myself. I mean, we're asking detailed theological questions about the nature of grace and purgatory and sacraments and all that, and you just plowed through it like it was no problem. Apparently, there's some really good Catholic education down in Louisiana. Congratulations, Chris. You won all the prizes that we can give you. And the one that I was really trying hard not to get let you get the $50.
He means that in a good way.
He means that in a good way.
Well, they
y'all
take
prepared
it.
Me well, thank you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, they take it out of my check, so I, you know, that's the. So enjoy my $50.
Yeah, they don't.
Chris, congratulations. Are you're on the Axe retreat now, or you're about to head to it?
I am on it now. I'm skipping dinner to hang out with y'all.
Oh,
well,
cool.
Thank you for skipping dinner, and God bless you and all. Is it men or are men and women together on the retreat? I can't remember.
It's 73 men.
Okay. 73 men. Praise God.
Have a blessed and spiritually profitable time.
Thank y'all so much.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks very much. Now, Jimmy, I don't know if you suggested this on the air. I can't remember, but you did say it to me that we should have a tournament of champions.
Yeah, like for people who scored really high, like maybe once we have several people who've gone all the way.
We have two now.
Yeah.
So
we could like have a death match.
Well, okay, yeah.
Figuratively.
Is there any kind of wording we could do about other than death match? Wow, I am so impressed. Do we have super smart Radio Club members or what?
Well, just being in Radio Club means you're smart, as we've already said.
But John, he only missed one.
He only missed one.
And it was a hard one. That was a hard question that he missed on. So a lot of conversation about grace.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, to prepare for this, I read a bit about grace, like in the Catholic Encyclopedia and stuff, to try it's a very subtle thing.
Yeah.
Grace is not something where you just like, oh, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I think even Thomas Aquinas or, you know, the people that are like, you know,
he has extensive discussions of grace.
Right. Mm-hmm. But he, I think, is ultimately we're talking about something that, what is it? It's so mysterious that
whatever God does for you and is good. That's grace.
And what's the relationship between grace and thanks? Because I think of the word, isn't gratia thanks?
Yeah. This is, and the, in many languages, there are terms that have one root meaning that then get slid to include something else. And gratia is one of those terms. In Latin, it originally meant grace, but it's come to mean thanks. So like in Spanish, gracias.
Oh, yeah.
Means thanks.
Right.
Similarly, in Greek, charis means grace, and a good grace would be eucharis.
Oh.
And that's where we get Eucharist, for the Eucharist, because
a good grace.
You began the meal by saying grace.
Ah, yeah. So when we say grace, what is that? Well, that's
when saying grace means giving thanks.
Giving thanks
in a meal context,
right? So these words are mixed up through the through the years. Yeah, yeah.
That's also why we have a related phenomenon is why we have the word mass in English, because it is related to the dismissal that occurs at the end of mass.
Misa.
Yeah. You can hear the cognate nature of those words there.
Yeah. Another one that I thought that there was a little bit of struggle on was purgatory, because I don't know what you thought of the answers that I gave as choices, but the same as the punishment of the damned, only temporary. That really can't be the answer.
No, but there has been historically a group of people who would maintain that position, that essentially what purgatory is, you get thrown into hell and then you burn off the you know, consequences of your punishments, and then you get taken out. So you just don't get left there. So that actually is a theory that some people have maintained historically. But the catechism, in the passage that I'm certain you based that answer on,
well, I actually took the words from
rejects it,
it
and says it's entirely different than the punishment of the damned. And
right.
That's why the catechism is so emphatic, because unless someone had been saying it's the same, they wouldn't bother saying it's entirely different.
Yeah, yeah, I see. And the one that I think most Catholics who are catechized nowadays know, because I do think this forms a kind of ongoing argument or conversation with many of our Protestant brothers and sisters, a final chance at salvation for those who died outside the friendship of God. Dying outside the friendship of God is very, very bad.
Another common misunderstanding of what purgatory is, where some people think it's a kind of second chance, but that's not indicated. That's not what the teaching is. Your fate is already sealed.
So let me ask you a question. Then we also had a couple questions in this one on the communion of saints.
Okay.
And so in connection with this purgatory question, the people in purgatory are also members?
They're also saints, yeah.
Okay, so they're members of the communion of saints.
Right. Everybody there are different ways of being sanctified. And every Christian is in some way sanctified. And so even people who are not in a state of grace are still members of the communion of saints in at least a tenuous way. But ways in which you're sanctified, the more sainted you are, and thus the more intense your participation in the communion of saints is. And since those who are in purgatory, even though they're being purified, their salvation is secure, and they're not sinning anymore in purgatory. So they've already been sanctified in ways that we here on earth are not. So their participation in the communion of saints, in a sense, is even stronger than ours.
So do you think of the people in purgatory as joyful or sorrowful?
I tend to think of it as sort of both. And this is something that kind of goes back even before I was Catholic. There's a certain human intuition that that when we've done something wrong, we need to mourn it. But oftentimes in this life, we don't have time to properly mourn things. Before I had the conceptual apparatus to articulate it in Catholic terms, I had an intuition that once I've died, I'll be able to properly mourn all of the things I've done wrong, and that will be a kind of joyful release. to
So you're the sorrow is the fact you are actually mourning things that were bad.
Yeah,
but the joy is
joy.
You're letting it go.
You're processing it. Yeah. You're letting it go, and so forth. Like when my wife died, it felt good to cry.
Yeah, but maybe
something similar.
Purgatory, in some ways, is a good cry.
Yeah,
a good spiritual cry. Jimmy Akins, our super secret celebrity guest. Thanks very much for being with us here for this
hour. I'm a celebrity, so get me out of here.
All right. Thanks to everybody for joining us for the Catholic Answers Game Show. Once again, if you want to join the radio club, and we really would love to have you join the radio club, we just give you stuff. We try not to ask you for anything. As a matter of fact, I don't think we do. Just go to CatholicAnswersLive.com. Find the spot where you can give us your email address, and you'll get the email each week, sometimes with really cool stuff attached. We'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations.